The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We should begin by asking, what was finished? First, all the prophecies had been fulfilled to the letter. This is the meaning of what the Lord said when he was about to accomplish his passion. When he set out, he said to his apostles, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man." There was not an historic foretelling from Abraham, who offered in sacrifice his son, to Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, that was not fulfilled in Jesus during these days. The prophecy of Zechariah that he should make entrance into Jerusalem on an ass in humility. The prophecy of David that he should be betrayed by one of his own friends. The prophecy of Zechariah that he should be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and that this price should afterward be used to buy a field of blood. The prophecy of Isaiah that he would be barbarously treated, scourged and put to death. That he would be crucified between two malefactors. That he would pray for his enemies. The prophecies of David that he would be given vinegar to drink and divide his garment, have his garments divided among them. That he would be a prophet like Moses, a priest like Melchizedek, a lamb to be slain, a scapegoat driven out of the city. That he would be wiser than Solomon, more kingly than David, and that he would be the one to whom Abraham and Moses looked in prophecy. All these prophecies would have been left unexplained had the Son of God incarnate on his cross not looked back on all the sheep and goats and bullocks who were offered in sacrifice and said, "It is achieved. It is consummated. Everything is finished." The only prophecy that had not yet been finished was his death and resurrection. First thing that was finished was his Passover. On the cross, Jesus, when he exclaimed, "It is finished," the "it" refers in general to his entire salvific mission, but it refers in a special way to the culmination of his saving work. He had come from heaven to earth with the task to inaugurate a new and eternal covenant between God and man. He was going to do that by building on the first covenant God had made with his people. God had saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt on that first Passover, making them consume the flesh of an unblemished lamb and wiping its blood on their door frames. In the new and eternal covenant, Jesus was to be that Paschal lamb, the Lamb of God. He likewise needed to be consumed, and his blood needed to drip all over the cruciform wooden key that unlocked the door to heaven. Through Moses, God gave the Jews in generations subsequent to the Exodus a rite by which they would enter into the dramatic event of the Passover of their forefathers. They celebrated it each year with great attention to detail, what they were to wear, what they were to say, how they were to clean their homes, prepare and cook the food. All of this was prescribed to the letter by God. It was within that rite of the old covenant that Jesus instituted the new. Scripture scholars, in looking at the gospel narratives from the point of view of the Jewish Seder, however, have noted with curiosity and a certain astonishment that Jesus didn't finish the rite. There are supposed to be 4 cups of wine consumed at different times. Jesus and his disciples only drank 3 before they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Question is, what happened to the 4th cup? Most believe that the 4th cup was the cup of suffering foretold by the prophets that Christ would drink on the cross. That the 4th cup was consumed on the cross seems likely because of what Jesus himself did immediately before pronouncing the words, "It is finished." He said, "I thirst." St. John tells us what happened next. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, and so they put some on a sponge and lifted it to him. And when he'd received the wine, then he said, "It is finished." Jesus had said during the Last Supper, Amen, amen, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. If Jesus had just drunk that wine, it must be that he was fully inaugurating that kingdom, which was the culmination of his work. It was Jesus's it. Jesus finished the Last Supper, the new and eternal Passover, not in the upper room, but on Calvary. It was on the cross that he put into body language what he proclaimed the night before. This is my body given for you. It was on the cross that he himself became the fourth cup, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant to be shed for you and for the many for the forgiveness of sins. What was also finished here was the consummation of his wedding with the bride. The wedding bed of our union with Christ is the cross. And in Latin, the expression for it is finished is consummatum est. It is consummated. We had been betrothed to the Lord prior, but it's here that Jesus makes possible for us to become one flesh, indissolubly, fruitfully, faithfully united with him to the end. Jesus had completed here the messianic work that the Father had given him. When Jesus said these words, "It is finished," it's not like he was throwing in the towel. It was, in fact, his triumphal statement. He was screaming from the cross, "Mission accomplished." He had achieved his lifetime goal. To the eyes of the world, of course, Jesus was an abject failure here. The world's biggest loser. Nazareth, where he had been brought up, was scandalized because of him and twice cast him out. Capernaum, his own city, walked with him no more. Chorazin and Bethsaida, where he had done most of his miracles, had to be condemned in the end. Galilee was unsafe for him. Jerusalem had never really received him. Members of his extended family thought he was mad. He was an outcast of men, a scandal even to his own. But Jesus was always the sign of contradiction, and his apparent defeat was in fact his greatest victory. Jesus on the cross is the image of the happiest person who ever lived at the moment of his supreme triumph. I want to repeat that because we need to get it. Jesus on the cross at this very moment is an icon of the happiest man who ever lived at the moment of his victory. This is Koji Uehara jumping into the arms of David Ross. Times a trillion. It is finished. Mission accomplished. We win! Jesus didn't say these words as one battered to his knees and forced to admit defeat. He didn't whisper it. He shouted it like a victor who won his last engagement with the enemy and brought a tremendous task to triumphal conclusion. Jesus had prayed during the Last Supper, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son so that your Son may glorify you. I've finished the work you have given me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with yourself, with the glory which I had before the foundation of the world." And that's precisely what was happening now in the supreme glorification of the love of God for us shown here. Jesus had been born with this as his one goal. This was what was to occur at the fullness of time. The most tremendous deed that has ever been done upon the earth had just been brought to its successful conclusion. Tetelestai was the Greek word given to us. Scholars have much more insight today into this word of the evangelist after some archaeological discoveries. They dug up in the Holy Land a tax collector's office that was almost entirely intact, with tax records and everything. And there were two stacks of tax records. And one of them had written on the top the word Tetelestai. In other words, paid in full. These people don't owe anything anymore. The debt owed has been paid. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said Tetelestai from the cross. Paid in full. He paid the price for our sins, and now we were set free. In one sense, Jesus' work was totally finished, mission accomplished, game over, we win. But in another sense, it's not. Like God in creation, God had created everything in the first six phases of creation. But that didn't mean we wouldn't have any evolution, because he had planted within seeds that could eventually evolve. He had intended from the beginning that there would be growth. Likewise here, when he says it's finished, and he rested in this new creation, he was also leaving built on in room for cooperation, room for growth, room for us to collaborate in that recreation. Jesus created the church to fulfill his mission for the salvation of souls through preaching the gospel, through the celebration of the sacrament, through all the actions and choices that constitute what it means to build up his kingdom. So as we hear Jesus' words, Tetelestai, consummatum est, it is finished, we're called to reflect. Is his work, the redemption of our body, finished yet in me? For the marital union to be consummated, we need to receive the Lord's gift of himself, and in return, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable to God. Have we done that yet? Is his work completed in us? The church was born from his side, just as Eve was born from Adam's side when Adam had fallen asleep. It was born from his side on the cross. But we have to ask with candor, have I allowed that work fully to transform me? And can we say in our own time, with total honesty, I am accomplishing the work God has given me to do? Am I finishing my task, my mission in life? Thinking about this most dramatic exclamation point in Jesus' life, we now turn to him with prayer on the cross, begging that one day we will be able to say with him, consummatum est, Tetelestai, mission accomplished, and come with many others to share his eternal victory, which he gives us as an eternal inheritance.